another episode of Disneyland Devoted. I am your host, Michelle, and I appreciate you. So first things first, happy December, happy holidays. It's the season. It's so amazing. I've got so many things to talk to you about. So first, let's talk about some recent news, which I'm sure everybody has heard, but I'm going to give you my two cents on some of the news stories. And then I want to talk to you about Magic Bands. We did take a recent trip to the Disneyland Resort. We tried out the Magic Bands. I have some pros, some cons, some tips and tricks I want to share with you. In next week's episode, I want to do an updated episode on visiting the Disneyland Resort at the holiday season. There's been some changes and some new ways and new things to consider that I want to share with you, plus, what worked and what didn't work. So with that, let's go ahead and get started with obviously the biggest news, and it's a couple weeks old now, but with Bob Chapek stepping down and Bob Iger returning, that's huge. And by now, if you follow this, you know that the majority, at least what I see, this seems to be a very favorable move from the Disney company. People seem very excited about this, cast members and fans. I see some feedback or hear some feedback about how, Bob Iger wasn't, perfect and he made mistakes too, things like that. But my personal opinion is I adore Bob Iger, and I found him to be very Disney-esque. And by that, I mean really kind of carried on the soul and the legacy of Walt Disney, like other CEOs before him. But he definitely seemed to really get the guest experience, really get the human side of Disney, the storytelling. I think he's quoted by saying that Disney had lost some of its soul. And quite frankly, I have to agree with him. I felt in recent years that there was a lot of emphasis on money making and less emphasis on the experience. And that for me is not the best recipe. I do find that Disney fans are all about the experience. The whole magic is about experience and not about the numbers. And I think that, like anything in life, if you focus on one thing and not something else, or let me say that differently, when you are focusing on one thing, other things can fall to the wayside, right? It's kind of like multitasking. People say that you can't really multitask because you don't do any one thing right. Well, I feel like Bob wasn't even trying to multitask. I felt like he was just focusing on the bottom line. And, of course, the CEO was tasked with growing the company and things like that. And Bob Iger did a lot of that. But I just felt like some of the other areas were just not getting the love and attention that I thought they deserved. And now that Iger is back, I feel like that's going to be restored. Now, I've seen a lot of, videos and articles about what will he change and will he get rid of the reservation system and will he do this and will he do that? And I really don't know that. Obviously, we don't know what his big plan is. And I think that there's a lot for him to do. And the parks are just a piece of that. And I think he has to focus on the management and either making sure he has the right people in place or allowing them to do their job. And I think there's so many different areas of the Disney company, not just the theme parks. And so he can't put all of his time and attention into theme parks. He's got to look at everything from streaming to merchandise to television to movies to ABC to ESPN. I mean, there's just so much. So I try to be realistic. That's a lot. And it's not just him. Like, he has to get the right people, which he might have the right people. He has to really assess that. So at any rate, It's hard to really know for sure, but I feel like we're taking a step in the right direction, and that makes me very happy. In regards to other news, so Disneyland-related news, there's, obviously it's the holiday season there at Disneyland, and most of the attractions are up and running. In fact, on paper, like there was no attractions down for refurbishment, but there were a couple of them that were down most of the day, and they'd come back up and then they'd go down. So Splash Mountain is getting ready to be rethemed to it's like the Bayou Adventure, which is Princess and the Frog, which I'm really excited about that. So got to ride Splash Mountain as it is today one last time, and then it'll go through its retheming here in the beginning of the year, or so that's what we understand. Tarzan's Treehouse is being rethemed to Adventureland Treehouse, and it has a Swiss Family Robinson like inspiration. And if you were at Disneyland Resort before, when it was the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, or if you're familiar with that movie, and I know that's a huge throwback, it has a little bit of that. Just based on concept art, it seems to be a little bit like that and totally different than Tarzan. And when we were there, they were, you know, there's a lot of construction and you can't really see anything. So I can't wait for that to be unveiled. But you could see the concept art right there on the, I don't know what it's called, but the fencing that's blocking off the attraction. You can see their concept art, and that was really nice. And then Toontown was still down. And so we understand that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railways coming up in 2023, meaning they're going to open that. Toontown's going to be open. So that's, you know, a nice improvement. And there's some changes there with regards to like Goofy's house and Donald Duck's house. And well, Donald Duck's was a boat, and just kind of those awesome little like younger kid attractions over there, they're getting a facelift. So that's kind of cool. So anyway, there's some things moving, some things being renovated, rethemed, new attraction, Toontown getting kind of a facelift, and it's going to open soon. So that's really awesome. So those are really kind of the big main things I wanted to kick off today's episode with. But let's jump into Magic Bands. So I had to go and try it. We had to do it. I wanted to do it so that I could tell you about it. I wanted to experience it. It's another piece of the magic. So I had to just try it. So if you're not familiar with what a Magic Band is, it's been something out in Disney World forever and a day. And, it's like a watch with a sort of, it's really just a band, but it's tied to some things within the park. So what is out at Disney World is a little more expansive than what they rolled out at Disneyland. And from my understanding, that what is rolled out at Disneyland may be just like phase one. But at Disneyland, you can use your Magic Band to get into the park. So they would like scan your band instead of your phone or a ticket. You could use it when you are using Genie Plus and you're going into the Lightning Lane, or you do the individual Lightning Lane purchases. You can put your band up against the reader and it'll go boop instead of putting your ticket or your phone through there. You can do a bounty hunting game in Galaxy's Edge where your Magic Band is interactive, and I'll talk more about that here in a moment, but you can hunt some bounties and it reacts and it, you know, it gives you points and it does different things. So you can do that. But that's really, oh, and then the other thing is that it will react to the, like the fireworks show or things that are happening from an event, like if there's the lighting of the castle or the fireworks show, your Magic Band will respond by lighting up and vibrating and doing things like that. So it's a little more interactive in that regard. What it doesn't do at Disneyland that it does over at Disney World is there's no entry into your hotel. So at Disney World, you can tie that Magic Band to your account and it'll open your hotel room. Also, you can purchase things with the Magic Band at Disney World. So, like, if you know, it's tied to your either your hotel bill or your a credit card, and you can go and buy food, and you can, you know, swipe your Magic Band. It doesn't do that at Disneyland yet, but perhaps someday. So, at least something has rolled out at Disneyland. Now, what I will say is it's pretty new, and I did not notice a lot of Magic Bands when we were there. Even where you could buy Magic Bands, I didn't notice a lot of traffic. So we purchased our Magic Bands at Downtown Disney the night before going into the park. So we did it in this like little pen trader shop. It's kind of like an outdoor kiosk or like shopping area right there in Downtown Disney. They had, you know, several to choose from, different themes, and they range anywhere from $35.99 or $34.99 to like $44.99, and different colors and themes, and like retro Disney, modern Disney, some Mickey, some Minnie, some other characters. There's a lot to choose from. So it was the three of us, and each one of us chose ours. And your Magic Band comes with a charging cable. So it's like the port that connects to the actual band, and then it's USB that you can, you know, plug into a charger of some sort. So it comes with that. And like I said, we did it at Pen Trader, and it really wasn't that crowded in that section. And then when we went into the World of Disney, there was like a section of a wall that had Magic Bands, and it wasn't really that crowded there either. And we really honestly didn't see a lot of people using a Magic Band. And this is the holidays, and so I would have expected, because the crowds are increased, I would expect to see more people, and we didn't. Now, if I'm being honest, I'm not sure how well marketed the Magic Bands are. Like, I feel like I have not seen a lot of Disney marketing on the Magic Bands. I've seen a lot of videos. I've seen a lot of conversations from people that I follow that also got the Magic Band, but I haven't seen a whole lot of like commercials, ads, things like that from Disney really promoting the Magic Band. And I just felt like it wasn't really super popular. That was just my take. So what are the pros of the Magic Band? So one thing is it's actually kind of fun. Like as a Disney fan, I love anything that adds to the magic and anything that's Disney-esque. And I like to be in the experience, right? Like when we go there, I like to experience everything. Like I want to understand all the different bells and whistles with regards to Disney. This is my passion. This is what I love. I want to try it out. I want to share this knowledge with people that I know, with you, with everything. I want to stay in the know. So it was important for me to try that out. And I did find it fun. Like I enjoyed, someone calls it booping, and I'll call it that because the little kiosks react to your Magic Band by making kind of a booping sound. So I think it's kind of funny. So I liked being able to boop into the park and boop through Lightning Lane, and I enjoyed that very much. So I find it to be fun. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about whether people want them and do they want to spend that money and is it really necessary? And absolutely not. It's not necessary. It's just fun. So it's like anything else. You don't have to have a lot of things with Disney. You don't have to do a lot of things. You don't have to buy the seasonal food. You don't have to do Genie Plus. You don't have to stay on property. You don't have to do a lot of things. But when you do some of these things, it just adds to the magic. And I found the Magic Band to be a lot of fun. The other thing is, as the main account holder for us, like the Disneyland app is on my phone and my family is tied into my account. And when we go into the park, the first time we use my phone to, you know, have him scan my phone and swipe through the different people in my family and scan their e-ticket. And then maybe they get it printed and they hold on to their ticket. Or if we don't do it that way, if we go to like a Lightning Lane, I'll use my phone to swipe everybody in. And if my daughter's just going on something like Big Thunder, then I can, and she's the only one, I could swipe her in, you know, that kind of thing. But with the Magic Band, I don't have to do that. Everyone can do their own. So what happens is when I set up the magic bands, everyone that I set up, I assigned to one of the people in my family. And it's so it connected them. So when my husband goes through the park and they swipe his magic band, it is tied to his name and his e-ticket. And so it's all connected to him, and same with my daughter. So when we would go redeem a lightning lane pass, they could just boop themselves through. And that was pretty awesome. So it kind of, you know, it took it off of me, but it engaged them, right? It made it fun and interactive for them. They were like responsible for their own and they got to get in on that. So I thought that was really cool. The piece around, like, we walked by when they were doing the fireworks, we didn't stop because we were on a mission, but you know, it did kind of buzz and it did kind of light up. And if we were standing there for a period of time, we probably would have kind of utilized that element of it further or more. We really didn't, but it did sense when we were in the area and it did have a reaction. So that's kind of cool. Like, I could see where you would like it. But I really enjoyed that. The bounty hunting piece. So, pro is that that's just another element there in Galaxy's Edge. It's kind of fun. You go up to this thing that looks like an ATM and you put your band into the scanner and it tells you, you know, like this little Star Wars creepy dude comes out and like in the screen of the little ATM. It's not that, but it's like this little machine that you're working with and it tells you what bounty to go find. It shows you a picture of it. And then when you start walking around Galaxy's Edge, your band will turn green when you're getting closer to where the bounty is hiding, which is behind a door that's through somewhere around Galaxy's Edge. And then it'll turn red if you're not near, if you're going in the opposite direction. So then as you get closer, it starts to vibrate and flash more and more, you know, you're in the right area. And then there's a lot of these doors that are kind of mixed into the theming, into the ambiance. So you find one, it has like a panel that if you weren't playing this game, it just kind of blends into the theming and it has like lights and whatnot. And then you take your band and you go to that little panel and then your band will turn purple if your bounty that you're hunting is behind that door. Then once it turns purple, you know that you got it. So you go back to that same section that had that ATM, but right beside that is just a smaller little section where you put your magic band into the scanner and that's where you get points for collecting that bounty. And then you got to go back to that first machine and scan your band again for your second bounty. And I'm not really sure how many there are. I kind of didn't do that research because it was kind of fun to be surprised by that. So that part is really a lot of fun. Apparently there's in the Play app for Disney, you can download something that will help you scan each door and determine who's behind that door, like which bounty. I didn't do it and I didn't research it. And I think that's supplemental, but it could be a little bit of a spoiler alert. It was kind of fun just letting your band tell you if you were getting closer or further. And then in one section, there was a lot of doors. So you had to really go up to each door to determine if your bounty was behind that door. So that was kind of a fun thing in Galaxy's Edge to do, just added to the experience there. And I really enjoyed it. Now, what are the cons with magic bands? So the cons are they are expensive. Like, you already pay for a ticket to get into the park. And because we are going at holiday season, we were paying prime price to get there. So this is an additional $35 at least per person. Now, that's not every time unless you want to collect a different magic bands and you want a different one for every visit. Like, we can keep using the magic band that we have, you know, until for some reason they are invalid, but we don't have to buy one every time. So it's kind of like a one-time purchase. But you know, it's kind of an investment in the beginning. So the cons would be that it's an additional expense that's not really necessary, but kind of fun. The other thing is that it's limited, right? So like knowing what Disney World has and all the features that they can use, like purchasing things, and opening a hotel room if you were staying on property, just knowing that there's other functionality and Disneyland doesn't have all that functionality, that's kind of a con. And I'm not really sure if that other functionality is really going to roll out to Disneyland at some point. I don't know if they're like doing some sort of testing right now to see how popular it is, to see how it works. I don't know if that's, like I said earlier, if it's like a phased approach. I'm not really sure what's happening. But knowing that there's other functionality that we don't have over here, that's kind of a con to me. It just isn't all encompassing for that price. So, you know, small, but still a con. And then the biggest con is the lifespan of that Magic Band. So partly on us, mostly on the Magic Band. So we set it up the night before that's not true. I did it first thing in the morning, like really early in the morning, long before we were going to the park. I set up each Magic Band. I charged each one fully. As soon as we synced them, they needed an update. So I made sure every Magic Band was fully updated, fully charged, assigned to the account. Everything was set up. Well, admittedly, it was a very long day at the Disneyland Resort. Not complaining. Just very long. And we did not go to Galaxy's Edge until almost like 11 o'clock at night. So if you figure that the Magic Band was fully charged at, let's say, 8 a.m., and then at 11 o'clock at night, we went to do some bounty hunting, one of our Magic Bands, the battery was dead. So it happened to my husband. So when he went to put his Magic Band into that ATM-looking machine, it wasn't responding. And at first we thought his was defective. A cast member came over and it's new to them too. They went and got another cast member who said, I think the battery may be dead. Like it should be responding and it's not doing what it's supposed to. I think it needs to be charged. And at first for a while, we were very frustrated because only two of us could really enjoy this. It was the end of the night. And then I went and looked in the app, which, by the way, if you look in the app, you can look at each one of the Magic Bands tied to your account and you can see its battery level, which I didn't do. Like it really honestly didn't cross my mind. And like my daughter's was really low. My husband's was clearly dead. So it didn't last throughout the whole day. So that was a con. Like we went to go use them for, you know, one of the only four things that they can be used for. And one of them was dead. So the lifespan was a little bit of a disappointment. So tips and tricks. The first thing I would say is I highly recommend that you get your Magic Band before you go into the park. I mean, and by before, I mean, not like as you're standing in line, like the night before, the morning of, you get it, you set them up, you charge them, you update them, you do all of those things before, because you don't want to mess with that under, you know, Disney's Wi-Fi or data or whatever. You want to have a good Wi-Fi signal. You want to get everything completely set up and completely charged before you get on property. That would be tip number one. Tip number two is to bring your charging port and then like a battery pack. So we have a fuel rod and I did bring one battery charger because I didn't think that we needed all three because they're interchangeable. So I brought one, I had the fuel rod, but I didn't think about it. Like I guess I just thought it wasn't going to die and it did. So my tip to you would be like in the middle of the day, which if you're taking a break from the park, that's ideal. But if you're not, check your battery life for your Magic Bands and charge them up. Now, because they each will need a battery pack, you need to have some sort of source to charge them. Like I didn't see charging stations where like you could, you know, plug your device in, sit with it. I didn't see any of that. So you'd have to have an outside source. Or if you were going back to your house or your hotel or something like that, then you could recharge them there. But just keep in mind, however many people there are in your party who have a magic band, they're all, you know, all those need to be charged too. So you got to, you know, consider that. So I wish that I had charged it. Now, obviously, if I was charging one at a time, then that person's not wearing their magic band. So the best tip that I can give you is take a break. If you're able, go back to like a room, your house, and recharge all your devices, right? Your phones, your magic bands, your watches, all those kinds of things. Because the way that Disneyland and Disney is setting up their technology, and really technology in general, is it requires your mobile phone for a lot of things, and your watches and all these things are pulling on the battery life of all your technology, and you're so wrapped up in what you're doing, you're not really paying attention to that. So I wish I would have thought of it, and I wish we would have taken a break and gone back and recharged all of our things. So just keep that in mind to have a break at some point to charge these things back up. And then what I would do differently, if it worked out, but I probably would try to do this, is I would probably hit Galaxy's Edge in the morning so that our magic band was fully charged, and then we could go do some bounty hunting. Because that really pulls on your magic band. There's a lot of flashing and vibrating because it's interactive. So I would have done that in the morning instead of at night, unless I had a chance to recharge them in the middle of the day. And then lastly, be sure you're checking that app for the battery life of your magic band to make sure that, you know, just see where it's at. Is it low? Is it midway? Is it fully charged? And that'll help tell you whether you need to go and charge them. I didn't even think of it. So don't do what I did. Think of it, and then you could use your magic band fully. So all in all, I would recommend them if you are interested in adding to the magic. You just want to have another piece to participate at Disneyland or Disney World. I recommend them. I enjoyed them. I would do some research before you go. I would try to get them set up and everything before you go into the park. And then I would just enjoy it. It's just another part. And if you're a Disney nerd like me, you will thoroughly enjoy it. So there you have it. There is my review of Magic Bands and my tips and tricks, pros and cons. I hope that if you're listening, that you will get the experience, or get the opportunity rather, to get to Disneyland soon and experience the Magic Band for yourself. So with that, I am going to end this episode. Just a reminder, you can always find me via email. My email is always linked in the description, but it is DisneylandDevotedPodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to, you know, drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. I hope everyone is staying healthy and safe and enjoying this beautiful time of the year. And until next time, bye.